Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of July, recording at 12:06 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. This is much earlier than I normally record, but as I had mentioned in comment of the day yesterday and today, and also in yesterday's audio, I do have other commitments today, so I hope you don't mind. Normal service resumes tomorrow. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, such as they are. Asian stock markets were, I would say, describe them as mixed to steady, with the emphasis on the steady, not least because China pushed to another new high here today. European stock markets have rebounded today following yesterday's sell-off, and the American stock markets are not open yet. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices are a little bit easier. The dollar is mixed, but slightly lower. Precious metals are a little bit firmer at the moment, but they've been all over the place in recent days. And in industrial metals, these are also a bit firmer in here today, as are some of the agricultural commodities. And we also have crude oil back above the $70. Well, it closed above, no, it's back above the $70 level. It dipped below it last night, currently $71.12. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, overall background is one of ranging in a reaction and consolidation phase. There is an ongoing short to medium term risk that this spills over into a bigger correction. To do that, stock market indices, those of the US, for instance, and virtually all of Europe, would have to break below last week's lows, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions. Now, they may do that, and if they do that, that would signal at least a further reaction and quite possibly a correction, which quite possibly, most likely, would include base formation extension for the OECD stock markets. Now, on the other hand, we have China, which I've described today in comment as a bellwether for our hopes in terms of global economic recovery, because we look around the world and let's face it, the economic data is fairly grim, albeit less bad than it was, not surprisingly, in the first quarter of this year, not to mention the fourth quarter of last year. But it's still pretty weak, and there are myriad problems out there. So China is a bit of a beacon here for optimists in terms of GDP growth and also in terms of stock market performance. Needless to say, there are many who are skeptical about China's move and China's growth, but that's been the case all along, hasn't it? I tend to believe it if I see it in terms of fundamental and technical action. And I don't underestimate China one iota. Now, the stock market's at a very interesting level because it is overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, but that has also turned up, which that provides additional confirming evidence that China is in a bull market, as Fuller Money has been saying for, well, all year, really. And we also see China on the composite index up near this potential psychological resistance area, or reassessment point, I should say, of 3,000. So this is interesting, and if China, which I have pointed out, exerts an increasingly influential leash effect, not yet as important as Wall Street's, but Wall Street's neutral at the moment, so that leaves the running to China, and that is still giving a positive lead, but I do not have any doubt that if China were to react as we have seen with other stock markets around the globe, and I don't think it would be more than a reaction and consolidation and some mean reversion towards its rising 200-day moving average, whether that was in terms of sideways ranging, which wouldn't be surprising, or more of a pullback, remains to be seen. But if China, or when I should say, China loses its upward momentum, I would expect that to have a leash effect in terms of its influence on other stock markets, just because so many eyes are on China, and understandably so, and rightly so, in my opinion. Now, long-dated government bonds, it's too soon to say that the technical rally is over. I don't have a great deal to say about these other than that. I think it's I've described it as a somewhat risky, what I think of as a counter-trend trade. Not one that I have participated in, but I have mentioned it on a number of times because the previous sell-off was so oversold. I do maintain that the rally will be capped. I'm talking about the futures prices now, that the rally will be capped by the overhead supply, which you can see easily enough on any of the weekly charts. Precious metals, they're still in a quiet period. They have been under some pressure recently, but I regard this as more of a drifting consolidation phase, in partly in line with seasonal factors, and I'm really quite optimistic in terms of what will unfold come the autumn, the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year. I think gold, for instance, is on schedule to complete one of its long 18-month plus consolidations before resuming its secular bull market. And silver would outperform. Silver's high beta gold, so silver's going to outperform in both directions, as it always has, and as we've always claimed. And platinum looks interesting to me. I feel slightly uncomfortable in not having more platinum on board, but these are still tricky moments for precious metals in terms of a little ranging activity, and no big trending moves on offer at the moment, and so there will be other opportunities to increase positions, I think, over the next few weeks. Lastly, crude oil. This is important because if crude oil completes a consolidation in this $70 region and then moves upwards again, that will represent an increasing headwind for the global economy. If the gains are moderate or slow, I should just say, then the global economy has a better chance to adjust to it, has more time to adjust to it. But headwind it would be nonetheless, and the global economy does not need many headwinds at this stage, so this needs to be watched. We've had some respite in food price inflation recently, and that is good news in the sense that food price inflation would alarm central bankers, just as it did in the first and second quarter of 2008, as you may recall. I think that's pretty much it for now. But I noticed that the U.S. futures are trading a little bit higher here in advance of Wall Street's opening. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.